Following audio is from a rally held in North Portland to commemorate the one-year mark of the ongoing Israeli genocide in the Gaza Strip.
What we're witnessing here is the undoing of the world order as we know it. Make no mistake, this war that we're seeing right now, it will break the world. My people have suffered the darkest, most savage brutality mankind is capable of. And in the name of what? In the name of God? The way we pray should not dictate the rights we have as citizens of this planet. It shouldn't dictate the way that we farm, we fish, or we tend to our flocks. It should not dictate where we go to school, the jobs we do, and it definitely shouldn't dictate whether or not we have a right to live on the land we have inhabited since the beginning of recorded history. To our Lebanese brothers and sisters, we are and have always been a confederation. From the city-states of antiquity to the modern era, we have stood shoulder to shoulder. It is a bond as old as the pyramids. The Jewish people, they're also members of our family. Many, not all, have chosen a different path. They've chosen to leverage our ancient ties as a pretext for colonialism and ethno-national superiority. They have chosen to betray their family, and all in the name of having it all and being right. They have chosen a war of domination, and it truly threatens our existence as a species on this planet today. I don't hate the Jewish people for killing my mother, my father, my family. I don't hate them for killing countless thousands of children in Gaza. I don't hate them. I don't hate them in the nonsense that you see on the news in the name of being right. I do not hate them. But I refuse to be harmed by Zionism. I will not be harmed. And I refuse to be silent. I'm going to ask you, if you own one of these, if you have a kufiya, you know, I'm going to ask you, don't just wear it to rallies. Yeah. Wear it in your everyday life. Wear it when you're being kind to your neighbors. Wear it when you're helping people in need. Show people who you are. Show them what we are made of. And I'll tell you a little story about what we're made of. You know, we welcomed the Jewish people home, you know, after the fall of Rome, during the Inquisition. We welcomed them after the fall of the Ottomans. And we would have welcomed them after the Holocaust if it hadn't been for Zionists. We are good people, us Palestinian people. We are good people. We are good custodians of our homes. So please show the world who we really are. Be kind to each other. And as this winter approaches, as this war approaches, and it will get dark, you know, just know that the true light, the real light, and the only light to the nations is you.
I see some pointing. I see a hand raised over there. There's huge opportunity here. We've never had a pro-Palestine city council before, but I think we have a chance to now. After our new city council takes office, there is no reason that the city of Portland cannot be a leader in the U.S. on BDS. Historically, cities have played a massive role in building BDS pressure. Veolia, which is a multinational corporation that was involved in the illegal Jerusalem light rail project, cities around the world, as well as other institutions, refused to contract with them because of this, and that caused them to lose out on nearly $20 billion. So they eventually pulled out of Israel altogether, and that's the kind of pressure that we need. Nearly 40 city councils in Spain adopted motions calling for sanctions and a military embargo. This helped build the pressure for Spain to ban ships carrying weapons to Israel from docking at its ports. City councils in Italy, New Zealand, Belgium, Ireland have all adopted policies not to contract or invest in companies that do business with Israel. 5 cities in the U.S. have voted in favor of divestment policies since the winter, including most recently the other Portland, Maine. Of building the pressure for a complete arms embargo. Our federal government is an active participant in this genocide. Calling your members of Congress most of the time is falling on deaf ears. So we need our city leaders to lead the way on this. We saw during the Trump administration, many cities attempted to pressure or defy the federal government in some way, and we can build that kind of pressure again. Cities are also host to some of the most complicit companies that the BDS movement targets. And how your city government interacts with these corporations can make an impact. In Richmond, California, which has recently divested from companies involved in Israel's violation of Palestinian human rights, they also went to battle with Chevron for years. Chevron is a BDS target, and they have just forced them to pay $500 million settlement to the city. And Chevron is now leaving California because they are not welcome there. Front lines of this struggle, if there is the political will to do so. Speaking of Chevron, there is a global campaign to boycott Chevron, if you didn't know. Chevron supplies energy and fuel to Israel through its operations of Israeli gas fields, and they give millions of dollars a year in revenue to Israel, which helps to fund Israel's genocide. And we have Chevron all around Portland. Yeah. Chevron, they only entered the Israeli market in 2020, and they can exit just as quickly, but we need to pressure them to do so. And we are doing that through boycott campaigns, divestment campaigns, and also asking these gas station franchisees to pledge to not renew their contracts with Chevron. We can do that. If you want to get involved in the campaign to boycott Chevron, there's a link in this link tree. Take a picture of it. It's linktr.ee/PDXPalestine. There's a link in there to sign the pledge to boycott Chevron. There's a link to get in touch with the Portland Democratic Socialists of America, who are going to start a Chevron campaign. There's also a link in there to sign the petition to the Oregon Investment Council to divest from companies that are complicit with Israel. Our pension funds in Oregon, if you have your pension fund with PERS, you're invested in Israel's war crimes. So please sign the petition. It's linked in there. A lot of other resources are linked in that link tree as well. linktr.ee/PDXPalestine. All right, we're going to hear from our next speaker, Neely from PSL.
Hello everyone, my name is Neely and I'm an organizer with the Party for Socialism and Liberation. I'm also a student organizer with Washington State University Students for Palestine. Woo! This past year has revealed to millions of people within the imperial core the true nature of the United States and its imperial lapdog Israel. Now that the curtain has been pulled and we have seen the monstrous truth of those in power, we cannot stop until they are taken down. That truth is that those who hold power in this country can only care about the rate of returns and the survival of the settler colonial state of Israel, and not at all about the innocent lives of those in Gaza, the West Bank, Lebanon, and anywhere else that is suffering under the boot of capitalism and imperialism. But comrades, their power is not invincible. Their power is not indestructible. Their power is not invulnerable. Power can and will concede to greater power. And that power lies in us. Universities, in our unions, in our communities, and in every single facet of our lives. We must build and build and not stop building until we have power in the millions. Because comrades, we are not just participants in this struggle. We are the agitators. We are the organizers. We are the ones who have to build solidarity. We are not just bringing people to a demonstration. We are teaching people how to be human. That is your job. That is your job. That is our job. And our job is not finished until Palestine is free.
Thank you all for coming out. Truly appreciate it. Today we gather not in silence but in defiance. Today we stand not in despair but in determination. For too long we have watched the land of Palestine soaked in tears, scarred by oppression, and torn by genocide. But today we raise our voices not only for the living but for the countless who have perished under the weight of 76 years of occupation, displacement, and unimaginable brutality. Since October 7, 2023, the world has borne witness to a year of horrific genocide waged against the Palestinian people, our brothers and sisters. This genocide is not a sudden storm. It is the accumulation of decades of systematic dehumanization and erasure. It is an extension of a project that began in 1948, one built on the blood and bones of people whose crime was simply to exist on their own land. We must call it by its name, genocide. The International Court of Justice has ruled, finding Israel guilty of genocidal intent. This is not a mere accusation, it is a fact established by the highest court of international law. Yet despite this ruling, despite the screams of mothers and the cries of children, the shattered homes and the desecrated lands, the world remains complicit, and none more so than the United States of America. To the leaders of the United States, to the architects of global power who hide behind rhetoric while funding destruction, we ask this: where is your moral compass? Where is your humanity? For you who have championed freedom and human rights in name have instead provided the arms, the money, and the political cover that have fueled the massacre of innocents. You have stood by as Palestinians have been bombed in their homes, butchered in their streets, erased from the earth. Your silence is violence. Your complicity is clear, and even now you support this atrocity leaking into Lebanon, into Syria, into Yemen. For 76 years, the Palestinian people have suffered under occupation. We have been systematically stripped of our rights, our homes, and our history. The NCMEC of 1948 was not an isolated event. It is the beginning of a long, brutal campaign to erase an entire people. Yet despite the displacement of millions, despite decades of apartheid, despite every attempt to erase us, we Palestinian people endure. Our spirit remains unbroken. Today we have reaffirmed the right of return for every Palestinian exiled from their homeland, and now every Lebanese exiled from their homeland. Every village razed, every home stolen, every grave desecrated demands justice. The right of return is not negotiable. It is a right guaranteed by international law, a right that will never be extinguished, no matter how many bombs fall or how many walls are built. Palestinian life lives in every heart that yearns for justice. To those complicit in this genocide, know this: there will be a reckoning. There will come a day when the world will hold you accountable, not only in the courts of law, but in the courts of humanity. Every hand that has aided in the murder of innocents, every government that has stood silent, every leader who has turned a blind eye will be judged by history and by the people. But let us be clear, we are not merely fighting against oppression. We are fighting for something far greater. We are fighting for the dignity of every human being. We are fighting for the freedom of people who know nothing but suffering. We are fighting for a future where children can grow up in peace, where homes are not bombed in the night, where the land of Palestine is not a graveyard, but a beacon of hope. This struggle is not only for Palestinians, it is for all of us. When we fight for Palestine, we fight for the soul of humanity. We fight for the world we want to leave behind, where oppression is met with resistance. Yes. Where every person, no matter their race or creed, can live in dignity and freedom. The path ahead will not be easy, but we do not stand alone. Across the world, people are rising, people are speaking out. From the streets of Gaza to the streets of Portland, the cry for freedom is growing louder. We will not stop. We will not falter. We will fight until every Palestinian is free, until every wall has fallen, until every land is returned, and until justice has prevailed. Let us acknowledge those who have carried their fight on their backs, who have sacrificed in ways words can hardly express. To the journalists, the truth tellers who walk into the hearts of danger to shine light where darkness seeks to hide, we owe you a debt of gratitude. You have risked your lives, your safety, and your peace of mind to ensure that the world cannot turn away from the horrors in Palestine. Your cameras have captured the faces of the fallen. Your words have carried the voices of the silenced. You are the eyes of the revolution. And that's without right. Your courage, the crimes against humanity would remain in the shadows.
Hear, hear!
The first responders, you are the unsung heroes who run towards the devastation, not away from it. With every bomb that falls, you are there pulling survivors and martyrs from the rubble, stitching together broken bodies and broken hearts. You are the hands that hold life in the midst of death. You are the light in the darkest of nights. Your courage saves lives, your compassion heals souls, and for that we honor you. To the mothers of Palestine, you are the pillar of resilience. You have borne the unbearable, losing your children to bullets, bombs, and occupation. Yet through your tears, you have shown the world what unyielding love and strength looks like. You have cradled both life and death, and still you rise each day to care for the living. You are the beating heart of the Palestinian struggle, and your endurance is a revolution in itself. The fathers of Palestine, you have carried the weight of the world on your shoulders. You have buried your children, rebuilt your homes, and stood as shields against the onslaught of violence. You have taught us what it means to fight, not with weapons, but with dignity, with pride, and with an unbreakable spirit. Your determination fuels our collective fight for justice. And to the children of Palestine, you are the innocent victim of conflict you did not choose. yet you bear its scars with bravery beyond years. You have grown up under siege, knowing war before you know peace, but your laughter, your play, and your dreams are acts of defiance. You are the future that they cannot destroy. You are the hope that cannot be crushed, and it is for you that we fight to build a world where children can live, not just survive. I didn't have this one part that I'm going to say and written down, but to the resistance fighters who are dehumanized, who are called terrorists when they fight for the dignity of their homes, when they fight for their people, we honor you. This revolution is not fought on a single front. It is fought in the
That's right.
Woo! Woo! But first, we have to use our power as a people's movement. of the working class movement to tear the whole war machine to the ground and never see another bomb falling on Gaza.
Listening to the voices of Portlanders speaking at a rally held in North Portland to commemorate the one-year mark of the ongoing Israeli genocide in the Gaza Strip. This protest was held on October 6th, 2024.
All right, we have one more speaker. We have Layla from the Palestinian Feminist Collective and Oregon to Palestine Coalition.
Can you all hear me now? Amazing. Okay. Thank you all sincerely for being out today. It's been a year. It's been horrifying. It's been exhausting. And it's really good to see this many people. It's been 1 year of genocide, and it's also been 1 year of resistance that has been built off of over 100 years of resistance. We from the Palestinian Feminist Collective are here today in our rage, our grief, and our love for the Palestinian people in Gaza and all of occupied Palestine. The past year has been excruciating beyond words. This accelerated genocide has eliminated 902 family lineages. It has destroyed nearly all of Gaza's public infrastructure and schools. We have seen the murdering of journalists, the decimation of the environment, and Israel has forced disease to run rampant. Pregnant women have given birth to stillborn babies due to the ongoing stress that they experience. Starving children die in the arms of their parents as aid is continuously withheld. And men are abducted and imprisoned en masse.
Shame!
In addition to the physical carnage that Zionists have left behind them, the Israeli occupation forces have also used various forms of psychological warfare against the Palestinian people. Audio recordings of children crying have been used to lure Palestinians out of their homes, only to then be targeted for murder. Soldiers have invaded Palestinian home spaces, looting and mocking Palestinian women's intimate apparel. Aid deliveries have been dropped into the ocean in front of hungry Palestinian onlookers, or have been used to lure starving Palestinians to a site of targeted Israeli sniper fire. Not to mention the fact that the IOF has continuously, systemically, and will continue to completely shut off electricity and cellular service. They don't want us to know what's happening. But let it be clear. The genocide against Palestinians has only intensified in the past year. The genocide against the Palestinians that has only intensified in the past year stems from the 1948 Nakba and the enduring system of Zionist settler colonialism, which has expanded over the last 76 years. Genocide is not only about the psychological and is not only about physiological death, but about the destruction of Palestinian livelihood, generationality, and futurity. Forced starvation, mass rape, especially in prisons, systemic displacement, and enduring deprivation of rights and freedom are all strategies of this accelerated genocide. And over the course of the last year, we have seen yet again as imperialist regimes tout Zionist propaganda to justify this accelerated genocide. As we commemorate this 1 year of accelerated genocide, we call out all imperialists, Zionists, so-called feminists, and otherwise for their blatant endorsement and complicity in the murder of over 200,000 Palestinians and 2,000 plus Lebanese people in the past year. We have also seen a year of amazing resistance. As our people have endured this genocide, they too have resisted for its entirety. Whether it's in the past year or the past 100 years, our people have not and will not be defeated, no matter how unspeakable the violence we endure is. Zionists have long used inconceivable forms of violence to curtail our resistance, and to this day, it has not been successful. Like any indigenous people faced with settler erasure, Palestinian women especially have always taken leadership in resistance. We stand upon generations of Palestinian women freedom fighters and organizers who have long been the anchors of popular cradle of our revolutionary struggle. We, the Palestinian Feminist Collective, remember in 1936 when over 1,000 schoolgirls initiated the protest against British colonialism and Zionist settlement expansion construction. We remember that in 1946, it was the Arab Women's Union that built their first medical clinic in Jerusalem. We remember that in 1988, 1,000 Palestinian women anchored the International Working Women's Day mass march in Nablus. Woo! And today, 1 year after October 7th, we commend and remember the labor and steadfastness of Palestinian women alongside all our people resisting right now. Palestinian resistance and Samud are igniting a global call for revolution. And wherever you are now, in your own country, in your state, in your city, in your home, revolt to shut down colonial feminism. Shut down the Western and colonial discourses and policies that say they're trying to liberate women, but only if they can keep invading their homelands.
Period.
Only if they can keep genociding. Only if they can keep occupying and extracting and exploiting.
That's right.
For 1 year, we have been gaslit with false reports of mass rapes, of beheadings. We have been mocked
with racist reproductive justice statements, and for 1 year we have stood behind our assertion that colonial feminism has no place in Palestinian liberation. Palestinian mothers, women, and caregivers are the pillars of our struggle. What we are witnessing is a reproductive genocide, the mass incarceration, psychological warfare, collective punishment, and ethnic cleansing. Our defiance is a revolutionary act, and it has taken root in the very fabric of our homes, our families, and our communities. We stand in solidarity with Palestinian struggle for survival and liberation, not only in Gaza, but across all of Palestine, across the entire Arab region, to protect their families, homes, lives, and the homeland. Thank you.
Yeah. دائما نار ينحف.
أنا ما كنت في وطني ولا صغرت أكتفي،
وقفت بوجه ظلامي يتيما نار ينحف.
أناديكم أشد على
you know me from my work here at KBOO Community Radio. I also work with a small Palestinian-led English language media organization called the International Middle East Media Center, IMEMC.org, and I've been helping this past year, as in previous years, to cover the Israeli invasion of Gaza for the site's 8 million plus monthly viewers, to keep up with the daily incidents, to share the footage from people on the ground witnessing and documenting the atrocities with their cell phone cameras. The images of this past year have been seared into my memory. The worst one I remember was the image of what was left of a body that got completely smashed between two cement pieces as the building had fallen around him in one of the many, many, many thousands of bombs that were dropped on Gaza this past year. That body was so mangled and smashed, it looked like minced meat, and I will never get that image out of my head. But there are so many others, so many, many, many videos of children screaming in pain, blood streaming down their faces, burned from head to toe, looking out from a sea of bandages and ointment, or children with no bandages, covered in cement, dust, blood, carried into chaotic, undersupplied hospitals, frantic scenes, so many of these scenes night after night, over and over again. And we in the U.S. are not even living it, we're just watching it on our screens with our own screams of powerlessness feeling as futile as that of the Gazans who are screaming out in pain every day and night for an entire year. Protests became popular for a while here. People came out in tens of thousands in Portland for Gaza back in the winter. But the scenes on our screens are relentless. The man desperately pumping his hands on his wife's chest to try to save her with CPR, even though she is clearly gone, her body broken and misshapen. The recording of little six-year-old Hind, the call heard round the world, as Amy Goodman called it, her little voice desperately pleading for help, the paramedics trying to reassure her, their phone calls to the Israeli military liaison, their attempt to reach her, and the silence when Hind's voice let them know that the medics that had been sent to get her had been killed and that Hind was next. The many, many videos of Israeli soldiers mocking, dehumanizing, putting on Palestinian women's bras, riding children's bikes, laughing as they blew up home after home after home, after school, after mosque, after hospital. How can it have been an entire year? In any case, it seems like lifetimes. We have lived, those of us with family in Palestine, and yes, my spouse's family is my family, waking up each morning to new scenes of horror. And at the midst of all this, the most steadfast, the most joyful, the most resilient videos have come out of Gaza. the children dancing dabka on the ruins, the volleyball games on the beach with tents in the background, the videos of people returning to the ruins of their homes, digging them out, planting seeds, planting gardens in the refugee camps, sharing bread, that relentless gaze of the food vlogger Hamada Shu staring into the phone camera as he prepares hundreds of meals with whatever's on hand to share with incredibly grateful children. The reporting by Wael Dahdua, who went from the funeral of his own children and wife immediately back to the camera to continue reporting, because it was that important to tell the world what was happening in Gaza so that someone somewhere would get the message and put an end to it. And all around the world, people have been listening. People have been watching. People have been paying attention. For once, the word Gaza is on everyone's lips. A week before October 7th, 2023, I hosted a Palestinian journalist from Gaza at an event here in our town. He was part of an anthology, A Light from Gaza, which is a beautiful compilation of poetry and prose by Palestinian men and women writers from Gaza. His name is Yusuf El-Jamal, and he was a student of Rifat El-Arir, who became one of the symbols of Gaza after he was killed, with his poem, If I Must Die, You Must Live, to Tell My Story, that poem that became so iconic during this year of protests. It was written on countless protest signs, painted on kites flown above cities around the world, was read at so many vigils by tearful, passionate youth as they occupied their campuses, as they set up tent cities like was done to oppose apartheid South Africa in the 1980s. In short, Rifat El-Arir was one of the fallen heroes that have built this movement for a free Palestine that is closer to fruition than it has ever been in my lifetime of activism and journalism on this issue. But back on October 1st, 2023, when Yusuf came to our city to speak, there were only 10 people in attendance. One woman, an older Palestinian, broke down in tears after Yusuf spoke, saying that she was afraid in the first 17 years of her job at Portland State University to tell her colleagues that she was Palestinian. But now, a year later, students are walking out by the hundreds on her campus, shouting from the rooftops, "You are not alone. From the river to the sea, Palestine will be free." The word Palestine is on everyone's lips, and even more than that, Palestine, the soft F as it's pronounced in Arabic. The word Palestine lands like the soft feather of a dove on the pain of this war, this genocide, and everyone who has been part of this struggle for the past year, upon decade, upon century, upon millennia, knows that Palestine is the sound of freedom. And not just for the Palestinians, but for every anti-colonial struggle for freedom on earth, from Pays Basco to Western Sahara to Maui to Standing Rock to Ireland to Sierra Leone, we are all standing together on this, a global solidarity that hasn't been seen since the ports shut down to end South African apartheid, and did. So on this one-year anniversary of the day that Israelis woke up to the blowback of what 75 years of occupation had wrought, let's remember that Palestine is for them too, those that are awake to the nightmare, those that are standing in opposition to what is being done in their name, and there are many, those who are still awakening, and even those who are asleep. Palestine horiye min al-maye la-al-maye. Say it with me. Palestine horiye min al-maye la-al-maye. This will be the mantra for our freedom, and we will play it with drums and with smoke signals and TikToks, because freeing Palestine is the breath that the world has been needing since 1945, when the camps were liberated and the so-called world leaders and the people woke up to the horror of what their playing at war had wrought. And when the U.S. became worse than their so-called enemies, forcing the survivors of their horrific atomic bombs into laboratories for decades after their experiment in how deadly one people can be to another with a single bomb, which wasn't enough for Truman, who had to do it a second time in Nagasaki. Since then, it's like the world has been holding its breath. I do not, for one, find it ironic that the country that is cracking down the most on pro-Palestine protests, attacking and arresting Palestinians in their homes for organizing protests against the genocide in Gaza, has been Germany, allied with Israel, Britain, and the United States in an unholy alliance to preserve the last vestiges of white supremacy, coded as Western culture or civilization. The wealthy elite of these nations are supporting death camps every bit as bad as Guantanamo Bay was and is, in which thousands of people are being held in the name of security and literally tortured to death. We're watching the worst and the best of human nature emerge all at the same time. The videos of Israeli soldiers laughing and dancing as they blow up children, as they blow up the future, as they blow up the past. And then the videos of the refuseniks, the emerging anti-Zionist Jewish movement that shows up so beautifully and humbly to protests and actions and to the community that this liberatory movement has brought across the globe. Many of them are young. Their grandparents were the generation of the Holocaust. They hold that memory, that trauma, that fear, but they have refused to let fear be their guide. I have seen so many hundreds, thousands of these American and British and other nations of Jewish youth holding ceremonies, singing, chanting, sharing grief, holding space, being in true solidarity with their Palestinian comrades on the campuses and streets and community centers where events have been held over this thousand-year-long last year. So I go back to that day just over a year ago when Yusuf spoke in our town on October 1st, 2023, and I felt so disappointed in how few people had come out to the event to hear about Gaza. And Yusuf asked us in his earnest, pleading way, "Has the world forgotten about Gaza?" At the time, I'm afraid that if I had answered him truthfully, I would have had to say yes. Forgotten, or at least tucked away conveniently in a quiet part of the global memory, much like the fact that the U.S. is still running a torture prison in Cuba for over two decades, where innocent people are disappeared. Now, a year later, though there have been ebbs and flows, people are talking about Palestine, about Palestine. Everywhere on earth, from the halls of power to the workers in the fields, because Palestine's liberation is global liberation, and people see and recognize and feel and understand that. It is scary to some, but to most it is like taking a breath of clean, sweet air after breathing smog for decades. If you're still waking up and afraid of what the world has become as you slept, welcome. Watch Al Jazeera's incredible synopsis of the past year and remember that this kind of truth-telling is why Israel has banned Al Jazeera completely. Remember what journalism was? Even Al Jazeera has not documented the minute details of every single day of the past year, every incident, as the IMEMC has done. More than any time in the past, IMEMC.org has shared the work of hundreds of citizen journalists on the ground in Gaza who are unpaid but desperate to share their reality with the world by posting on social media. We owe an unending fount of gratitude to these incredible human beings who've put their lives on the line again and again to ensure that the world sees the reality that they have been living every single day. They've allowed us to continue this scrappy little site that was founded in Beit Sahor in the West Bank during the Second Intifada in 2003, even without funding, to bring the daily news of those killed, wounded, and abducted in Palestine to an English-speaking news audience every day since then. Follow these citizen journalists. Check their links. If they have a fundraising link, support them. Gaza needs all the help it can get from everyone, everywhere who is able. And now, Yusuf, I can answer you truthfully. No, the world hasn't forgotten about Gaza. Gaza is leading the world into a free Palestine, Palestine Hora, which will free the world. But I would have to tell Yusuf this through tears, knowing how much he has lost this year, as has every Gazan still living, knowing the pain they have endured this past year on the top of a lifetime of pain. And I want everyone listening to know that what you see now, the rubble, the suffering in Gaza is real. The pain is deep. The 15,000 plus children that have been buried this year should have lived to adulthood in a safe, happy, and free Palestine. Palestine should never have been made to pay for Europe's crimes by imposing a new colonial state on their land, just as colonialism was coming to an end, relatively speaking, worldwide. There's a video that I encourage you to look up on YouTube by the channel Gaza Style. It's called Happy Gaza Edition, Farrell Williams. It was made 10 years ago in Gaza. And though many of the people and places in that video are gone now, destroyed and killed this past year, that resilience, that joy for living, that incredible ability to wake up after having lived through the Nakba in 48, the Naxa in 67, the first Intifada in 87, the second Intifada in 2000, the Israeli bombardments in 2008 and 9, 2012, 2016, 2019, 2021, and the entire past year, and still be able to wake up smiling into the sun, heating a metal pot of coffee over a fire, and to look into some young person's iPhone camera and smile. That is the resilience that is Gaza. That is Palestine. That is the resilience we all need to find in ourselves. The steadfastness, the sumud, to take that deep breath, to speak truth into places of power, to know that things are changing and we need to hold on to all our siblings, which means everyone in the world, including that gentle dove of a sister to us all, Palestine. When I feel like succumbing to the death trap of capitalism that has its robot claw on us all, I remember the voice of the earnest young man, Shabab from Palestine, who stood on the pickup truck at one of the protests this past year and looked out at this crowd of young and old Americans, immigrants and refugees, descendants of enslaved people and descendants of enslavers, of people from every religious faith and no faith. And he said, "Repeat after me. I promise, I will never let Palestine go." And I heard all their voices responding and envisioned Palestine as the world's little sister, with all of us forming a human chain to hold on to her and keep her from swinging off the cliff and into the abyss. Thank you, everyone in Gaza and Palestine, for showing the world the true meaning of Sumud. Many of us are just learning or relearning what you have passed down for thousands of years. And even though I feel guilty every single day when I wake up and see what the government that I pay taxes to has wrought, I turn that guilt into action and do whatever I can do that day to use whatever power, leverage, money, time I have to call for a free Palestine, to push for an arms embargo, to stop the funding to Israel, to boycott and spread the word about boycotting, to cost this war industrial technological complex as much money as possible, and to refuse to pay into it myself. And I ask you to do the same. Do whatever you can every day in every way to stop the Gaza genocide. If you're not sure where to start, try the website ongaza.org. It has a list of talking points, and then if you scroll down, a list of links for how to get involved. Thank you for listening. Free Palestine. Palestine hurra min al-mayya la al-mayya.